Well, I encourage you to turn with me in your copy of the Holy Scriptures to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. Matthew, chapter 13. And our reading and our text that I'll be preaching from this morning will be from verse 44 to verse 46. Matthew, chapter 13, from verse 44 through to verse 46. And I will be reading from the New King James Version, so please join with me. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. May God be pleased to bless the precious reading of Holy Scripture. So, please pray with me once again. Father, we thank you for this passage open before us, and we ask you for your help in understanding it. We pray for your Spirit's ministry. We pray that our eyes would be opened and our hearts would be receptive, and we pray that you would be glorified. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the title of my message is The Superior Worth of the Kingdom, of the King and the Kingdom. The Superior Worth of the King and the Kingdom. Now, before I go into my introduction, I want to remind you that we've been working through parables now for several Sundays, and one of the things that has really set the stage for the parables is the conflict or the collision course that our Lord Jesus was on with the Pharisees when in Matthew 12, after our Lord Jesus had healed the man on the Sabbath, the Pharisees were very upset about that, and our Lord Jesus went on to say that he had done this healing through the Holy Spirit. The Pharisees had accused Jesus of doing this in the power of the devil, Beelzebub. And Jesus had then said that the kingdom, if this had happened, that he had healed this man through the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of heaven had come upon them. And so that sets the stage, as it were, for our Lord beginning his teachings on the parables. And really, essentially, the parables are about the kingdom of heaven, especially these parables in chapter 13 of the Gospel of Matthew. Now, let me begin, as we look at this passage, by saying this, that I think you'll all agree that in the world in which we live, people attach a great deal of value to many things. They value their possessions. They value their positions. They value their reputations. People value ideas. Ideas of equality, of fairness, inclusion. They attach certain or value certain rights. They value certain privileges and freedoms that they have. They value a great many things. But there is one thing that is far more valuable. There is one thing that is far more precious than all of the things that people in this world value, whatever it may be, whatever they may put a high premium on. There is one thing far more valuable, far more precious than all of these things combined. And that is the kingdom of God and the King himself. And maybe we should define what I mean when I'm speaking about the kingdom of God. Let me define the kingdom like this. I would define it as the kingdom of God as the rule and the reign of God in the hearts of his people. Wherever there are people who come into contact with wherever there are people who are confronted with and who live out the implications of the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is the kingdom of God. We saw that in Luke chapter 20, where Jesus said, the kingdom of God has come upon you. It is not a tangible thing, it is in the hearts of men. Now, our Lord Jesus had many things to say about the kingdom. And as I said earlier on, many of his parables, in fact, most of his parables are about the kingdom. And I think this is the key in the parable of the hidden treasure and the parable of the pearl of great price. Now, let me say this about these parables. Both of these parables have a lot of similarity. And for that reason, I want us to consider them. I think we need to consider them together. In the first place, both parables speak of men finding something very precious and valuable. The one speaks of a man finding a treasure in a field, while the other speaks of a man finding one pearl of great price. Both parables speak of the cost involved in obtaining these treasures. And in both cases, we find that the men sold everything they had to obtain these treasures. The man who found the treasure in the field sold all that he had so he could buy the entire field where he found the treasure. And the merchant sold all that he had in order to buy the pearl of great price. So those are the similarities. But let me also say this. There are some important differences. There are some important differences. And I think we need to see those differences because they serve, I believe, to complement each other and to draw out the key truths. Firstly, regarding the differences, the first parable focuses on the thing sought. The thing sought. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. Verse 44. The second parable focuses on the person doing the seeking. Verse 45. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. Secondly, the first person who found the treasure wasn't looking for it. In fact, he stumbled over it. He just came upon it, as it were. While in the second parable, the one who found the pearl of great price was not looking for this one pearl specifically, but he was seeking pearls generally. And in both of these parables, I believe our Lord is teaching a very important principle about the kingdom of heaven. What is that principle? What is that lesson? I believe that the lesson that is set before us is that the kingdom of heaven is of inestimable worth. It is priceless. It is of more value than anything in the world, than anything the world has to offer. So this morning I want us to consider our passage. And I want us to consider it under two headings. The first is the comparison that Jesus makes. And the second is the price or the cost that is paid. Let's look at the first one then. The comparison Jesus makes. Well, let me ask you a question. What price which you put on the kingdom of heaven? What price would you put on the kingdom of heaven? Maybe you're thinking to yourself, that's a nonsensical question, Pastor. And you would be right. Because you cannot put any price on it. You cannot put any price on it. The kingdom of heaven cannot be compared in worth to anything on earth. It is of incalculable value. It is inestimable in value. There is no earthly comparison on earth to the kingdom of heaven. And this thought, I believe, is expressed by the Lord Jesus in both of the parables that he sets before us. In the first parable, Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven to a treasure hidden in a field. Now, you hear of that, you think, that's a little out there, Lord. Who hides their treasure in the field? Do you know anyone who hides their treasure in a field? I don't know anyone who does that. But let me say to you, friends, in our Lord's time, in His day and age, this wasn't as far-fetched. There were no such things as banks. There were no such things as vaults. No, but there were robbers. There were thieves. And it was a dangerous time in which our Lord lived, and a dangerous time in which those people lived. And so it was customary for people, if they were afraid, to take their treasure and put it in a box or put it in a casket and bury it. And they'd do that. They alone would have the map to finding the treasure. So they would bury this treasure in a field. But what happens if that person suddenly died and no one knew about the treasure? The treasure would remain hidden. Perhaps later on it would be found, and then it would become the property of the person who owned the field where it was buried. Now, this is precisely what's happening here. A man, possibly a servant, was digging, plowing the field, or maybe even a passerby stumbles upon this treasure hidden in a field. That's the scenario. Now, if we go to the second parable, Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven to a merchant seeking precious pearls until he finds one pearl that was of great price. Now, I want you to notice, Matthew writes, one pearl of great price. What does he mean by that? He means by this, that this was one of those one and only kinds of pearls, the ultimate pearl, the one pearl that was above all pearls, a pearl that was more valuable than anything else, nothing compared to it. It was a pearl of pearls. And so here in these two parables, we have a tremendous picture of something, of two things that are so valuable, a treasure and a pearl. And if anyone found that treasure or found that pearl, they would be set for life. Not only would they be set for life, but they would be able to supply for their families as long as their families live. They would be rich beyond measure. Well, friends, the point is this. The kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is just as valuable and precious as a treasure and a pearl of great price. Why is that? What makes the kingdom of heaven of such value? Why is the kingdom of heaven so precious? Well, think of its glorious benefits. Think of its glorious benefits. What are the benefits of belonging to the kingdom of heaven? Well, they're innumerable. We could spend so much time, but let me give you a number of them. Forgiveness of sins, indwelling of the Holy Spirit, peace that surpasses all understanding, adoption as sons, access to God, freedom from condemnation and guilt, the gift of eternal life, communion and fellowship with God and His saints to an everlasting eternity. These are just some of the benefits of the glorious and wonderful, precious kingdom of God. They are all precious. They are all incalculable and valuable. They are like, as it were, glistening gems. Boys and girls, think about a treasure. Think about a casket opened. And think about the jewels and the gems and the glistening diamonds and the pearls and all these lovely treasures. The kingdom of heaven. Our Lord Jesus is comparing to that kind of beauty. And it is all bequeathed to us. It is all given to us when we repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. God has not spared anything. He who spared not His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He now with Him not freely give us all things? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. And when we think of the King of the Kingdom, who is He? He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the mediator. Of Him the Scripture says He is the fairest of 10,000. He is the rose of Sharon, There is no comparison to Him. He is more precious to the soul than anything in the world. He is more precious to the soul than anything. He who was betrayed for a mere paltry 30 pieces of silver is worth infinitely more than all of the gold and silver and costly gems and all of the treasures in this world and 10,000s beside it. There are wonderful illustrations, friends, that highlight the preciousness of this Jesus, this King, this Mediator. I think of the one given of the woman who came into the house of Simon the leper. And you remember what a marvelous thing she did? We read in Mark 14, verse 3 to 5, these words, "And as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, 'Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor.' And they criticized her sharply." Beloved, look at this woman. She did not think it a waste to come and break that flask of costly spikenard and to anoint our Lord Jesus, because she knew that very soon He would be crucified. She knew that very soon He would face the ultimate sacrifice. Verse 8 tells us that. She knew that He would die for His sins and the sins of all His people. Of what value was a costly alabaster flask of spikenard compared to the costly sacrifice of Jesus? It was nothing. Christ was of more value, more precious to her than all the alabaster jars of spikenard in the world. Beloved, think of that for a moment. Think about the costliness. Think about the preciousness of Jesus. We could say, as Scripture says, He is of the price far above rubies. We cannot set any value in this world, because He far surpasses any precious thing in this world to our Lord Jesus Christ and to the kingdom of God. I think that's really what our Lord Jesus is seeking to teach us in these two parables. Take, for example, the man who found a treasure hidden in a field. He wasn't looking for it. He stumbles upon it quite by accident. It's also true for the merchant. Jesus says he was looking for precious pearls, which is what every merchant does, but he wasn't looking for the one pearl of great price. And like the man who found the treasure, he stumbled across the pearl of great price quite by accident. One day as he was in the marketplace, or maybe at the pearl exchange, he was looking through pearls. And all of a sudden, there it was, this pearl, this one great pearl of price. And beloved, as you think about that, Jesus is saying this is true when it comes to the kingdom of heaven. You see, as a result of our being born in sin, we are blinded by nature and we do not see the value of His kingdom. We are blind to it and we are ignorant, and by nature we cannot see it. We are earthly creatures and we value and treasure the things of this world. And you know how the Bible describes the things we treasure? They're like dust. The psalmist says, "My soul clings to the dust. My soul clings to the dust." Let me tell you, beloved, the things of this world that you treasure, they are like dust. They are like ashes. They are here today and gone tomorrow. Your money, your possessions, your position in society, your job. How many of us pour hours and hours and invest time and time, your studies, degrees upon degrees, and we want to advance ourselves, we want to climb up the corporate ladder. all of this, our aims, our goals, our aspirations, they are all earthly. And ultimately, at the end of the day, they are meaningless. You see, the spirit, the man without the Spirit, he does not see value in the things of God. Maybe you're sitting here and you're just saying, time's marching on, Pastor. I want to go home and have my lunch. I've got a game I want to go and watch on TV. Or I want to go and play my games. Or do whatever it is you want to do. That is a reflection on the fact that your soul is dead. You are blind. You are blind and you cling to worthless things. You know, there are many people who are born in Christian homes. Maybe they've made a profession of faith. Maybe they've even gone through the waters of baptism. And they've grown up around Christianity their whole lives. But they have turned away from Christ. And they leave it all behind to live for the world. Or maybe even you began earnest and seeking the things of God, and something happened, but all of a sudden the cares and the worries and the pleasures of this world have choked out that life, have covered your eyes with blindness, have calloused, have given you cataracts that you don't see the value, the preciousness of Christ, and you are turning away from God. Why do people fall away from this? Why do they turn away from Christ? Because they don't see the preciousness of it. Maybe they saw something of it one time, but right now they don't see the preciousness of it, and they are not prepared to sell everything for the kingdom of heaven. They are not prepared to give up anything. They are prepared maybe just to give the scraps, but their hearts are 1,000 miles away from this precious King and His precious kingdom. Let me ask you this morning, what about you? Do you see the value of this kingdom? Do you see the value of this King? Is this King and His kingdom precious to you? And I want to say, friends, there is only one way that you and I will see the value of this kingdom. It is if our eyes are opened by the Holy Spirit. Here's the question. Has the Holy Spirit opened your eyes? Now, I also want to make this very clear. That happens when Christ saves us when we first come to Him. But you need to understand He has to do it again and again and again and again. Why, friends? Because the reality is this: again and again and again and again, we allow ourselves into being fooled into thinking that other things are more valuable than the kingdom of God. We have to meet with Him every day. We have to draw near to Him every day. We have to say to Him, Lord, open my eyes that I may see precious things, the precious things that You have in store for those who love You. And I want to say, friends, if you hardly ever turn to the Lord and you hardly ever call out to the Lord and you have a life that is lived in a distance from Christ, it is no wonder that the things of this world seem more valuable to you than the Son of God. But I must add this, you are being conned. You are being robbed. And it may very well be that the price is far too high for you to pay. Every day we must pray, Lord, show me. Lord, bring before the eyes of my heart the value of You, my King, and of Your kingdom. show me that nothing can compare to them in any way. That's why the psalmist says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So the value of the kingdom is illustrated in the comparison which Jesus makes as he compares it to a treasure and to a pearl of great price. But let me also say this. It is illustrated in the cost paid. In the cost paid. Maybe you've been seeking for something for a long time. And you really want it. You save up. You're prepared to pay the price for it. Think about it. People spend millions of dollars on all kinds of things that they are seeking. People will spend millions of dollars on baseball cards. They'll spend millions of dollars on a painting that they can hang on their wall, on some kind of artifact. They will spend treasure getting what they want. Now, our Lord, He is in on this. And He says such was also the case here in our passage. What did the man do when he found the treasure? We read that he covered it up and sold everything that he could buy the field and take possession of the treasure. We find the merchant did the same thing with a pearl of great price. He sold everything to buy that one pearl of great price. Now let me say this. I've been thinking about this parable and some questions that I've asked myself and others have asked. And one of the questions is that the man who bought the field seemed to have acted dishonestly, saying that he should have really told the owner of the field rather than keep it a secret. Others have said this, that if the man was dishonest, he would have just taken the treasure without buying the field at all. But in thinking about it, friends, I really think that that is to miss the point of the parable. Jesus' point is simply that the treasure was so valuable that the man was prepared to sell everything he had in order to get it. That's the point. That's the point of this passage. And it's a staggering thought. Think about it. There was no price he wouldn't pay. We understand that people will lay out large sums of money to get what they want. Think about it. You've all seen or you've all been at an auction where people are auctioning off valuable things. And one by one, the little things go up. And eventually there's one and two. And then there's one, the winner. But at every point, someone eventually bails out because they're not prepared to pay that much for that thing. I want you to consider this parable. This man was willing to sell everything he had in order to get this one thing. That's exactly what these men did. They sold everything. The man who found the treasure sold all that he had to buy the field. The merchant of pearls sold all that he had to buy the pearl of great price. And the question is, obviously, why did he do it? Why did they do it? Because they saw the value of the thing they wanted to buy. These men saw the value of the thing they wanted to buy. The man saw great value in the treasure. The merchant saw great value in the pearl of great price. In fact, they valued these things so much that in their estimation, they were worth everything they had combined. Everything. And beloved, I want to say this to you. Such is the case of those whose eyes have been opened to see the value of the King and the Kingdom of God. They wanted it so much that they are prepared to do anything. They were prepared to give up everything. They were prepared to pay anything, to make any sacrifice in order to get this treasure. Now, pause for a moment. Maybe you're thinking in your mind as you're listening to me, how does that square away with the fact that you can't actually buy the kingdom of God? Now, friends, I'm not saying that you can actually buy the kingdom of God. I realize that's impossible. For one thing, we are bankrupt and naked and empty, and we have nothing to buy with. We have nothing to buy with. In fact, if anything, what are we? We are miserable, hell-deserving sinners. Even our best works, says Isaiah, are but filthy rags before the Lord. And for another thing, the kingdom of God is so priceless and so incalculable in value. We could never, ever afford it, even if we had something to pay. For another thing, the Bible is very explicit in what it says. It tells us that the kingdom of God cannot be bought with money. It says this in Isaiah 55, verse 1 to 2. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. The only way you can receive this kingdom is if it is given to you. If it is given to you. And the prophet Isaiah says, come. Come, you have no money, come. God desires to give it to you. Now for this reason, some have said that the men in the two parables is Christ and the treasure and pearl are the church. I thought about this for a while. I can't see this interpretation because I think based on the context, the two parables, as well as all the parables in Matthew 13, are about the coming of the kingdom in the hearts of men. In the hearts of men. So the question is, what does Jesus mean there? Well, when Jesus uses the word buy, he simply means this, and I submit this to you. To buy means to appropriate. To appropriate. His point is this, when a sinner's eyes are opened to see the precious value of the kingdom of God, he will desire it so much that nothing will compare to it. Nothing will stand in his way. Such an awakened sinner will not only desire the kingdom, but he will strive with every ounce of his being to obtain it at all costs. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, our Lord Jesus said this, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Once again, our Lord Jesus said, strive to enter into the kingdom. Beloved, this is something that we lay hold of. We lay hold of Christ who has laid hold of us. We press on to the upward prize. We press on. We press forward. We throw off. We fix our eyes. And we run with endurance the great race set ahead of us. It is costly. It will cost us everything. Think of a number of biblical illustrations. I think of Moses. Moses was brought up in a palace. He was at the feet of Pharaoh, as it were. He had the whole world at his behest, so to speak. And yet we read of Moses in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24 to 26. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in the kingdom. For he looked to the reward. Moses looked to the reward for it. Matthew, another one. Matthew was a tax collector. Matthew was a wealthy man. He had given up very much to have his position as a tax collector. And when the Lord Jesus came, he called him and he left his booth and he followed Jesus. Think of Zacchaeus. He had heard that Jesus was coming to town. Zacchaeus climbed up in a tree. Short little Zacchaeus climbed up in a tree. And he was looking and looking and looking until eventually he saw Jesus. And what was Zacchaeus prepared to do? He was prepared to pay four times as much as he had taken from those whom he had robbed, whom he had conned and cheated. And of course, think of the Apostle Paul. Paul was the Pharisee of Pharisees. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He was a star. He was a star in his community. He was a star amongst the Pharisees. He was at the top of his game, so to speak. And what happened? Christ met him on the road to Damascus, and Christ conquered him. And at that moment, when Christ conquered him and struck him with blindness, he said, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" Remember what Paul says in Philippians? He writes this. This is, as it were, his personal testimony. "Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I am also circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews concerning the law, a Pharisee concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ, rubbish. Yet, indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom," Paul says, "I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, that I may be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." Paul took everything he had that he thought was of incalculable value and he threw it in the trash because he saw Jesus. He beheld the kingdom of God, and that was his treasure. In that one side of the Lord Jesus, Paul saw what he lacked, what he had labored so hard for. And he realized he didn't have. In that one sight, he realized he could never earn. And when he trusted in Jesus, he had it. And everything was garbage, friends. He left it. He followed Jesus. And oh, friends, he suffered. He did. But oh, the prize was set before him. Oh, the preciousness of Christ. Oh, the crown of glory laid up for him. Let me ask you this morning, what about you? What are you prepared to give up for the Lord, for His kingdom? So many of us think we can have our cake and eat it. So many of us think that we can have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of heaven. And yet again and again, the Word of God tells us that the love of the world is in us, the love of the Father is not. Anyone who makes himself a friend of this world makes himself an enemy of God. An enemy of God, friends. There is no middle ground. There is no middle ground. And the reason why so many of us turn away disappointed. Remember that rich man? He turned away disappointed. Why? Because he had wrapped up so much in all of his possessions. He had wrapped up so much in all of his possessions. Isn't that true of us? We've wrapped up so much of our lives in the things of this world, and we are ensnared. We love our possessions. We love our wealth. We love our status in society, our pleasures. We love our life of ease more than Christ. In fact, some of us don't even see the value of it. As far as we're concerned, he was just some Jewish rabbi, some good philanthropist that lived somewhere, and he just died a tragic death. Isaiah tells us this about those who reject Christ, who has believed our report, and to whoever is the arm of the Lord be revealed, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. As we hid, as it were, our faces from him, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Do you remember that rich young ruler who came to Jesus? What must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do? When Jesus touched the idol of his heart, he turned away, sorrowful. And he never came to Christ. And friends, I want to say this to you. What is standing in your way of seeing the preciousness of this King and his kingdom? Is it a relationship? Is it some possession? There was a man who came to Jesus, and Jesus said, "Come and follow me." And the man said, "Lord, let me go and bury my father." And Jesus said this, "Let the dead bury the dead." Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's your family. I don't know. God knows. But there is something that is standing in your way from receiving this precious kingdom. And you are not prepared to lay down what is going to cost you eternal life. You are not prepared. And you are not prepared because you cannot see the value of this Jesus. Because you have drifted from it. You have drifted from it. Listen to what Matthew chapter 6 verse 19 and 20 says. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Friends, think about what I've just read to you. Why would you lay up treasures on earth? Why? They don't last. Why would you spend your time and energy in something that ultimately is not going to last? A relationship which ultimately is going to end. These are such temporary things, and we cling to them. We cling to the garbage. We cling to the treasures on earth, and they are fleeting. Friends, I want to say to you, whatever the world has to offer you, whatever your flesh is desiring, is like a morning mist. It is here in the morning, and it is gone by the midday. It is gone by the midday. This rich young man who came to Jesus, he thought he could have Jesus and his riches. He thought he could have Jesus and his life, and he went away empty. Now, our Lord looked at him and loved him. And I want to say to you, even now this morning, beloved, Jesus looks at you and he loves you, and he puts his hand out and he says, "Don't do it. Don't do it. Give me your life. Trust me. Turn away from whatever scrap, whatever garbage, whatever thing you're clinging to, whatever reputation, whatever preconceived thing that you think gives you value. Turn away from it and look to Christ and cling to Him and pursue Him. Yes, it will cost you everything you have, but here's the reality. God will show you that everything you have is really nothing. All you have are rags all you have are scraps. And Christ is inviting you to come to the table. Christ is inviting you to a table that He has spread out before you in the presence of your enemies. Christ is inviting you to peace, to life, to mercy and forgiveness. My people have committed two evils, said God to Israel in the book of Jeremiah. What were they? They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and they have hewn out for themselves cisterns, broken, cracked, filthy cisterns. My friends, every time you and I choose something over Christ, we are choosing garbage. We are choosing garbage. We must not think that we can come to Him on our own terms. We must not think that we can come and strike terms like that man. Lord, let me go and bury my dad. Let me just live a little longer. Let me just get married. Let me just enjoy this pleasure. Let me just enjoy that pleasure. Let me just have this one thing. Friends, we cannot do that with Christ. We cannot. It is all or nothing. It is all or nothing. And if it is anything in your life that is keeping you from that precious treasure, cut it off. Get rid of it. Throw it away. Put it in the trash can. Run from it. And lay hold of the King of Kings. Lay hold of the pearl of great price. Matthew tells us again, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let me ask you one simple question. Are you prepared today to give up everything Jesus puts His finger on and says, that's an idol? Because I'm telling you, my friends, as you heard that question, if there's something that rises in you and says, not that, not that, your heart is not right with God. Your heart is not right with God. But if you are sitting here this morning and you are saying, search me on and see if there be any evil way in me, and lead me in the pathway everlasting. Lord, whatever it is, I lay it on the altar. Your heart is right with God. Your heart is right with God. It is a very simple question, beloved. And it is a question that no one else can answer for you, only you. But I do want to remind you and I do want to warn you. God is not mocked. You cannot fool God. God will not allow you to play this game of fast and loose, having the best part of both worlds. Every day, the reality of what the Scripture sets before you is there. Choose this day whom you will serve. Choose this day. My friends, I am faced with that question now. In my heart, as I preach this to you, as I think of my life, there are things that Christ is touching and saying, that is an idol. Who do you love? Do you love me? And I would be lying to you to say that I know it's a struggle. But turn your eyes off of yourself and look to Christ and pray that the Spirit of God will show you His preciousness. And beloved, He will, for He alone is worthy. He alone is precious. Now, maybe there's someone here this morning and you had no interest in the things of God. And like this man in this field, you've stumbled across this treasure. He is yours. He is yours if you will just receive Him. He is yours if you will just come to Him and cast yourself upon Him and receive Him. He is yours. And He is free. And He is willing to be had by you. He is willing to give you life everlasting. My friends, all of us, do we love this Jesus? Do we love Him? Are we willing to give all for Him? May God give us grace to understand that no eye has seen, no mind has imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. If you think that you are clinging to life, I remind you what Jesus says: whoever tries to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will gain it 1,000. When you receive Christ on His terms, you receive treasures beyond measure. Freedom, forgiveness, peace, an eternal inheritance that neither moth, nor thief, nor rust can steal, kill, or destroy. Come to Him. Come to Him. Lay your idols down and come to Him. Take His yoke upon you, because His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Boys and girls, come to this Jesus. You don't have to wait until you're an adult to come to this Jesus. Come to Him now. He is precious. He is glorious. He is the best of friends. He is the dearest of brothers. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And He will love you and protect you and shield you. And He will bring you to Himself finally in glory. Little ones, receive Him. Receive Him now.